Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you this afternoon. My name is Maria Gallardo. I'm the Managing Director of Recovery Programs for the New Mexico Finance Authority, along with my team, Teresa, Neely, Delan, and Tyler, who are on the line. We will be presenting to you the grant program that we have right now available for small business owners. And this is as a recovery grant, meaning allowing business owners to get back to normal, at least the new normal, but helping them kind of get back to what it was before the pandemic. So with that, I do have a slideshow, PowerPoint presentation. I'm gonna share my screen here in a second. And Adrian will be sharing this as well at the end of the presentation. So you will get a hard copy of this. So first, I can do it. There we go. So first, again, the grant program is called the Recovery Grant Program, and this is geared for New Mexico businesses. So again, I roughly introduced my staff, but this is their full name plus title of the NMFA staff that works directly on the actual grant program at NMFA, as well as we have a very robust team of temporary staff that has helped us with the review of the applications. So we have multiple hands working on this program to make sure we get the applications processed as effectively and as quickly as we can because we understand the need of the business owners. What we've done here is we've done different locations with a contact person. So let's say, for example, I work out of Las Cruces, then Neely would be my point of contact. Now, this is just so you have kind of a name to a face to go with your application or if you need assistance or have any questions. But just because my person is Neely, for example, I don't have to just call her. I can call anybody on the list, myself included. We have all of the phone numbers and email addresses on there. We wanted to make sure that you have a contact person to make it as easy as possible to get the answers that you need if you are stuck or if you're helping a client and they have additional questions or whatever may come up, we're here to help. So what is their recovery program? So the grant program is grant awards up to $100,000 for New Mexico businesses. And it's important to note that the deadline is December 7th. So we have a round that just started this week and it's going to end December 7th. So what that means is that we're accepting applications from now until December 7th, and then we'll prioritize and fund those applicants that have the greatest revenue decline. So as noted here on a percentage basis from 2019 to 2020. So applications will not be funded until after December 7th, because what will happen is we'll take all the applications received in this timeframe, we'll prioritize them based on revenue decline and fund those that were affected the most until we run out of money. So it's important that the business owner uses the correct documents, which we'll cover in a minute, to make sure that the revenue decline is actually shown as the business experienced. Next, I have the eligibility requirements. So in order for a small business to qualify for this grant program, they have to have at least one employee, but no more than 75. And that is not FTEs, that's not hours worked, it's an actual person. So they must have at least one employee, but no more than 75 between full-time, part-time, it doesn't matter how many hours they work. They also have to have experienced a reduction in staff, I'm sorry, in hours. So if before we had staff members that worked, you know, X number of hours, now with the pandemic, we had to lay some of them off. Now they work this number of hours. So that's what we're looking for, a reduction in staff hours. They also have to have a decline in revenue from 2019 to 2020, most likely from being closed due to the pandemic or any kind of revenue decline. And we'll talk about how to evidence this in a minute. The business also must have a rent, lease, or mortgage on the actual business property. And that is a requirement because this grant program is meant to reimburse business owners for that lease or mortgage payment. They must operate in New Mexico and they must report those employee wages to the Department of Workforce Solutions, which is a form that we'll request as well, which we'll cover in a minute as well. So that's the eligibility part. Next, I'm going to talk about how it's calculated and what it's for. So the grant amount is calculated based on the FTEs. We'll talk about what FTE is in a minute, but it's mainly the hours worked for the employees. And so it's based anything that's on or after April 1st, 2021. So the amounts are also based on the revenue decline. So there's a couple of things that go into the formula for the total grant amount. And we do have this covered in the PowerPoint as well, so we can explain it. But the application itself does all the calculations for us, so we don't have to manually do it. It will be embedded into the actual application. The funds of the grant amount are, like I mentioned, are for reimbursement of the rent, lease, or mortgage payments. And this can be for past due lease or mortgage payments or future upcoming ones that are due. And because of that, the funds can't, because they're meant to reimburse, the disbursed funds can't exceed that amount of the rent or mortgage. And how it works is at the time of closing, the business owner will get the first 25% of the grant amount disbursed to them. Going forward, they must hire new people in order to request reimbursements in following quarters. And again, we'll talk about how that works in a minute. This is just kind of at a glance and how it works. And it goes quarter by quarter that the business owner can request the additional grant funds. So this is where we get a little bit into the what is an FTE. So for that, I'm going to turn it over to Delaine, who's going to cover this in the next slide to kind of give us a little bit more information on that. Delaine?
Sorry about that. Okay. Hi, I'm Delaine Reichard, and I'm going to go over what is an FTE. FTE means full-time equivalent employee, which means an employee or employees that work 40 hours per week and could be any of the following. Could be one employee working 40 hours per week, could be two employees each working 20 hours per week, could be two employees, one working 10 hours and one working 30 hours per week, could be 10 employees working some combination of hours that add up to 40 hours per week. So if you think full-time equivalent, full-time is 40 hours, okay? So any number of employees working that add up to 40 hours per week. Applicants will use their payroll records to find total number of hours worked by their employees to answer questions in the application related to FTEs. Grant awards are up to $100,000 and are calculated as follows. There is a grant base, which is the base grant amount plus wage bonus, and then it's times the number of the new FTEs. So the base grant is based upon the percentage of revenue decline. So the revenue decline is figured 2019 over 2020. So if it's less than 20%, the base grant per FTE is $10,000. If it is at least 20%, but less than 40, so between those figures, it's $12,000. If it's at least 40%, but less than 60, it's $14,000. If it's at least 60%, but not less than 80, it's $16,000. If it's 80% or more, it's $18,000. Now, if they show no decline at all, they do not qualify for the grant. There's also a wage bonus. If their wages equal out to under $13 an hour, there is no wage bonus. If the average wage for the new FTEs is more than between $13 and $17 an hour, they get a $1,000 bonus. If the average wage of the new FTEs is more than $17 an hour, they get a $2,000 bonus. And just for a grant calculation example, let's say Anna's Cafe had to reduce staff during 2020 because business was slow. Anna's Cafe experienced a 50% decline in revenue from 2019 to 2020. And with business reopening, Anna is now able to increase hours for her existing employees and hire new employees. Anna will hire two part-time employees and increase the hours of her other employees from 20 hours per week back to 40 hours per week. So her two new hosts are going to be 20 hours per week. She's paying them $15 an hour. So those two 20 hours together total one FTE. Her six bakers, she's moving from part-time at 20 hours per week to 40 hours per week at $35 per hour. So those hours all totaled together equal 3 FTE. So her base grant base grant is $14,000, plus she's paying a higher wage. Those two average out over $17 an hour. So that's a $2,000 bonus. So it's the $14,000 plus the $2,000. So it's $16,000 times 4 FTE. So her grant is actually $64,000. Okay. So total all that together, that's what that would be. And you do get questions on that because that's a little confusing there.
With that, I think we'll pause for questions if anybody has any on the grant calculations. And again, I know it can look kind of intimidating, the formula itself, but it's all done inside of the application. So the application does the calculations for the applicant. So this doesn't have to be manually as explained on the slideshow.
Correct.
Thank you for that, Dylan. Lily, I'll turn it over to you so you can explain to us the application process, please.
Hi, everybody. I will be going over the application process. Last time, you guys couldn't hear me too well. Can you hear me good, Maria?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, great. So the first process to start your application, the applicant needs to create an account, and they could create an account by going to nmfinance.com, and it will guide them to sign in. This is the first time we created this login process, so they would have to create for the first time the username and password. Unless they apply for the loan program, they could use the same username and password. The next thing, applicants can save the application to finish at a later time. So if applicants say, for example, it's kind of a long application, so they could start today and finish it tomorrow. So I highly encourage for all applicants to have their required documents before starting an application. That could just make things easier and faster for the applicant and for you guys that will be helping them. The next thing, applicants will be notified if the application is incomplete or incorrect and will be given the opportunity to correct it. So in this same portal that they will be creating an account from, they could sign in at any time after they submitted their application, and they'll be able to see their status. If for any reason it shows as returned, that could be just an indication that the application needed any type of corrections, or say if whatever step it's at, they will be able to see this. Again, reminder, the final round ends on December 7th. So they have until December 7th to finish and submit their application. After December 7th, we'll be prioritizing this application based on their revenue decline. And some of this required documents, they will need their 2020 business federal tax return. They must be filed. We cannot accept extensions. The next thing would be a copy of the rental, lease, or mortgage agreement that evidences past, current, and future payments due. The next thing they'll be needing is proof of their revenue decline. The first thing that they should have is their CRS reports, and those are filed through New Mexico Tax and Rev Department. So they will be needing their 2019 and 2020 for the same quarter. So if they do file monthly, they will have a total of 6 reports, 3 from 2019 and 3 from 2020, again for the same month. If for any case they do not file CRS reports, we will accept the 2019 and 2020 federal tax returns. And then if for any reason they don't have either or, they could just contact us directly and we could see how we could help them, and they could just call us at that phone number. Next thing is they'll be needing their New Mexico DWS report. This is something that they filed through the Department of Workforce Solution. The form is called the ES-903A, and they will need a report with from quarter ending December 31st, 2020 or March 31st, 2021. And that's just basically to evidence the lowest number of employees for their post-pandemic. The other requirement that they will need is a copy of same report, but they have the option to choose from March 31st, 2019 up to September 30, 2020. And that's basically to evidence their highest number of employees for the pre-pandemic. Another requirement they will be needing is their supplemental employment or payroll report. And this comes along with the DWS ES-903A. And basically this report will indicate the total of hours that all employees work for the quarter. And it should be for the same quarter reports they choose for their DWS, so for the 2019 and the one ending with December 31st, 2020 or March 31st, 2021 or March 31st, 2019 to September 30, 2020. They will need their driver's license, a photo of the front and the back of the authorized officer, and lastly, all documents must be uploaded as electronic files. The easiest thing is a PDF file, just as long as it's not password protected, that would help us in order for us to open that document. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Nelly. So that gives us a rough idea of what's required of the documents. We really encourage that the business owners have all these documents in line and with them, either physically to kind of look at, but obviously the application requires electronic formatting, but they need to have all their documents so that when we do the application, all the questions that we're asking actually make sense, because everything we're asking derives from these documents that we're requesting. So with that, I'm going to share the actual application. Give me a second here. So in order to get to the application, you would go to our website, which again is nmfinance.com. Let me back up there. One more. Okay, so nmfinance.com, which looks just like this. And then at the very top, there's a burgundy banner that says Small Business Recovery and Stimulus Programs. And that takes you to the landing page of what the grant program is. So it will be right here. It says grants now open. We would click on that. And then the application link is right here. I do have to warn that the website is going through a kind of a remodel right now. So it may not look the same the next time that you come in, but the information will still be there. It may not be right in this specific section, but it's still going to be on our website for sure. I wanted to point out before I go into the actual application that we have a bunch of resources on the right. So we have frequently asked questions in both Spanish and English. And then we have how-to videos that one of our staff members, Tyler, helped us put together. So if a business owner is stuck on a specific section, or if you're helping a business owner and you're not too clear on what the section is asking, these how-to videos will walk you step-by-step on what is asking and what is required to be filled into the application. And then the rest, it has different tools, like how do I reduce the PDF size? How do I find my DWS report? So this is a good list of resources. Now, by clicking on the application link, it's gonna take me into that application portal that we had mentioned. Now, because I already have a login, it's gonna remember my login. But if I don't, if it's my very first time doing this, I'm gonna hit new account and register for this. On the new account section, it's just going to ask me for name, last name, email, all my basic information, set up a password so I can log into the portal again later. Once I've registered, it's going to allow me to sign in. And once I sign in, I have the ability to create a grant application. And this is what this looks like. So we have a loan application and a grant application. If any of your business owner clients have any questions on the loan program, feel free to give them our phone number so they can give us a call and get more specific details on that. But the grant application program is on here as well. So if I am a business owner and I want to apply for a grant, I would come in here into the portal and click on Begin Grant Application. Now, this is what the actual application looks like. When you first get to it, it's going to be all blue and grayed out. I just had to do a kind of a mock application so I can show everybody. So once a section is complete, it will turn green. If it's not complete or if it's missing something, it's going to still be blue. So it's important that we know that one so that we know what the difference is on the colors and why it's not letting an applicant submit. So when we look at the actual application, the very first section is very straightforward. It's just asked for the basic information of the business and the authorized officer of the business. So first it's gonna ask for the legal business name, the FEIN, if there is a DBA, address, if they have a different address for mailing and physical, you would put both addresses here. And as I scroll down, it asks for phone number, the name of the authorized officer with their title, and that person's social security number and email address and phone number. So this is just the basic information of what business is applying and what's the authorized officer that's applying on behalf of the business. Once I have all this information complete, I'm gonna hit save. And like I mentioned, you'll see that it turned green. The next section is the business type. What type of business does that person own? In my example, I put a for-profit LLC, but you'll notice that you do have the ability to put not-for-profit. You can, nonprofits are eligible for the grant program, so they would just select not-for-profit and put in the board officer information. If it is a for-profit business, then if I select that, it allows me to choose what kind of business I am, whether I'm a corporation, LLC, partnership, sole proprietorship, whatever type of business applies to my company. And then it's going to ask me at the time of application, how many employees do you have currently? So I put in my example that I have two. The next section is going to be the eligibility section. So on here, this two, it came over from the prior section that I already answered that I have two employees at this time. And then it's gonna ask me for the revenue decline. So like we mentioned, the business must have experienced some revenue decline when comparing 2019 versus 2020 in order to be eligible for the grant. So it's gonna ask me, okay, if I'm using CRS reports, which quarter of my CRS reports am I using? Again, I'm using 2019 versus 2020. So if I choose fourth quarter, that means I'm gonna use fourth quarter CRS reports for 2019 and compare those versus 2020, same quarter. So I put that I'm going to do CRS reports for fourth quarter. For 2019, I had $5,000. And for 2020, I only had $1,000. So you'll notice that the application already does the revenue decline automatically. So this percentage of revenue decline is what gives me the base amount of my total grant amount. And then the next question, it asks me to select what range I'm in. So this 80% falls in 80% or greater. And this is that section asking about revenue decline. Can I answer any questions before I go forward? Because I know that these are the more intricate sections of the application.
Hi, Maria, it's Adrian. Everybody on the call, you guys can unmute yourselves if you want to ask a question or make a comment. But Maria, there's also a couple of messages in the chat. Do you want to read those? You and your team want to take care of those, or you want me to read those?
Yeah, of course. I actually have it open. I'll be happy to.
Okay. Okay, whenever you're ready to address that, then you just do your thing.
Sure. Yeah, I think right now is the perfect time. So we have the very first question asked about the PDF size. Because of the system that we use, there's a limitation on the limit. There's a limitation on the size of the PDF file that's being uploaded. If for some reason the file that the business owner has is too large, on our website, if I go back over here, we do have a how to reduce the size of a PDF. We're not altering the PDF file itself. We're just saving it in a different format so that it's reduced in size, and therefore there's no error message when going to upload that. So I definitely recommend this, and this is on our website, how to reduce the size of PDF files. And then the next question that was on the chat was about the calculator to determine if they may be eligible before they even start the whole application. That is definitely coming. It's being launched. Like I mentioned, our website's going to be kind of redone. That's going to be one of the things that we're going to be adding, where we ask the business owners three simple questions to determine whether or not they're eligible before they even open the application. That way it helps them save time, because we know their time is very valuable, and it allows us to only receive the applications for those that are eligible for the program. So that is definitely coming. That is a great suggestion though. So thank you for that. So if I can continue on the actual application, and then feel free to either interrupt me, I don't get offended, or if you wanna put questions on the chat, I'll be happy to answer them as I see them. So on the eligibility section, this is where I put my revenue decline based on my CRS reports. And then again, we wanna make sure that we choose the quarter that has the highest revenue decline, so that I can have this percentage be as high as possible so that I can get the most grant amount. Going on to section three, this is when we determine the FTE calculations. So this is why it's important that the business owner has all the documentation before starting the application, because if you notice, it says from your DWS reports, what is the highest number of employees in 1 month between this timeframe? So what this is asking is, before the pandemic, what was your highest number of employees? And this is for 1 month, not for the quarter, just for the 1 month in which you had the highest number of employees within this timeframe specified in the application. So in my example, I had two employees. And when did I have those two employees? Was March 2019, which is the next question. Next is asked, okay, out of the people that worked in your job in this quarter that ended March in 2019, out of all the people that worked in your business, how many hours did they work? And that's for the whole quarter. So that's the difference between this line item and this line item. This asks the highest number of employees for the month. This asks the number of hours worked by all employees for the whole quarter that ends March 2019. So in my example, in March of 2019, I had two employees. They both worked full-time, so they worked a total of 1,040 hours, okay? So that gives me an FTE equivalent of two, right? Because it's two full-time employees. If I, for some reason, mess with that, and let's say they only worked 900 hours for the whole quarter, you will see that the numbers start to change. So now I have a 1.73 FTEs, and that's because, again, the FTEs are based on 40-hour work weeks. So for the sake of my example, to make it easier, I'm going to leave it at 1040. So it goes back to two. So this is what I had before the pandemic. Now this is asking what we call post-pandemic. We know we're not out of it yet, but that's what we look at for the following numbers. So what happened after the pandemic? So between December 2020 and March 2021, how many employees did you have and how many hours did they work? So it's the same exact questions at the top. This is for your lowest numbers. So the pandemic hit my business. I had to lay off one employee. And as of January 2021, I only have one employee that works 520 hours. So the rest down here calculates how many FTEs I'm eligible for. So I used to have two FTEs. I now have one FTE. So I'm eligible to fulfill that one FTE that I lost. I can't hire more than what I used to be at before the pandemic. That's why it says that the maximum number allowed is one, to get me back to my original two employees that I had before the pandemic. And so it says your maximum is one. out of that one, how much do you want to hire? I'm going to say, I do want to hire that one FTE. Okay. Questions I can answer for anybody? If you want to jump in or put it in the chat, I'll be happy. I know that this is probably the most complicated part of the whole application because it does the FTE calculations. But like I mentioned, it's all in the actual application. So no calculations have to be done by hand. Pause for questions. Okay, perfect. So then the next section is going to ask me, okay, well, you said you wanted to fulfill one FTE. Now let's see what that looks like. So we have what's called a prospective employee list. So in this one, it says, okay, you wanna hire one FTE, what position is that gonna be? So in my instance, I typed in cashier, they're gonna make $20 an hour, working 40 hours a week. So that is my one FTE that I requested in the prior section. So this number right here ties back to what I had requested that I'm gonna fulfill on the other end. Now, if I make a mistake on this, I can press a little arrow and go to delete, or I can edit it, I can change it, I can add another one. I don't have to do one position for 40 hours. I can do two positions for 20 or however it works out, as long as I have one FTE, because that's what I requested in the prior section. So once I put that in, I'm going to put I'm finished. And next it asks me for the grant amount calculation. This is probably the easiest part because most of these fields that are hard coded in got brought in from the prior sections. So based on my revenue decline, this is my base grant amount. I have an hourly wage. This is my average, right? I only had one, so it didn't really calculate an average, but my average wage is $20. And then it has a bonus for the average wage. So the total grant amount per FTE that I'm gonna get is 20,000. So the only thing that the applicant has to do in this section is just choose the range that this $20 falls in. So it's either less than 13, between 13 and 17. In this case, it's greater than $17 an hour. So I'm gonna fulfill that and hit save. The next section is for reporting purposes only. It asks me where am I located, what kind of industry I'm in based on my NAICS code, and if I'm any of this like minority-owned business or a veteran-owned business, it's just for reporting purposes. So let's say I'm a woman-owned business, I would move it over to the right. And then it says, do I export anything out of New Mexico? My answer is yes. Just because I export does not disqualify me. Again, this is just reporting questions. And then the current dollar amount that I have in business loans, I owe a dollar in business loans in my example. And then the last question asks if you received any pandemic related financial assistance. This would be if the business owner received any kind of small business recovery loan fund that NMFA administered last year, the CARES grant that NMFA administered last year, a PPP loan, any kind of CARES money that has been coming down the pipeline in the last year and a half or so. So if the business owner has received any of that, they will checkmark this box. Again, that doesn't make a difference for this application. It's just for reporting purposes. Then the next section is the required documents. So based on the answers that I gave in the prior sections, it's gonna tell me what the required documents are going to be. And it's gonna ask me to upload all these. So you would go one by one. So in the files, this is telling me what I need, and then this is what I can choose from. So in the file box, let's say I'm going to add my ID. I'm gonna click on ID and I'm gonna upload it. I have a test doc here. Okay, I'm gonna upload it. I selected the picture of my ID and I'm gonna upload this file now. And if you notice, once I do so, the ID box gets checkmarked. So you will do the same thing all the way down the line. So I already did my ID. Now I'm going to do my lease agreement and so on and so forth until all these boxes are checkmarked so that we're showing that we have everything we needed. So now I'm done with documents. I'm going to hit save. And then the last one is my certification statement, which is probably the easiest part of this application. This is certifying. This all the certification questions showing that you are eligible for the grant that you don't plan to close your business, and that you're in line with all tax obligations from the state. So that is the whole application. And I will be happy to stop for any questions that anybody may have. I see a couple of questions on the chat. I'm sorry, can you, the question says, are the MBE, VBE, or DVBE self-certifications? And I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to educate me on the acronyms.
Hi, this is Cindy from Gallup. You had the certification area where you have minority business, veteran business, service disabled. I know those have certification requirements, but I'm wondering if they check them, can they self-certify themselves if they don't have those certifications?
Thank you for that. I learned new acronyms today. thank you, Delaine, for helping me answer that question. They are self-certifications. So the applicant themselves would choose whichever one applies to them and bring it over to the right. And they confirm that all the everything in the application is correct. And that's how they self-certify. Good question. Any other questions that we can answer, whether it's on the application or on the eligibility, anything else that we can answer?
This is Russell, I have a question.
Okay.
Can I get a little bit of information on the individual, the client experience? And part of this is in response to cybersecurity questions. How will your office interact with them? How will they be contacted? Will they be getting an email? Will that have like a certain logo on it? How can they tell they're talking to you and not someone else randomly calling them, hey, you've got a loan for something, et cetera?
Absolutely. That's actually a great question, because I feel like scams and potential fraud is in kind of everybody's radar. So you're right. How does an applicant know that it really is us calling? So first, the way it works is when the application is submitted, it gets signed to one of the reviewers. Currently, we have about 15 temporary staff helping with the review of the application, plus another 10 or so permanent staff that's going to be helping as well. So we have a very robust team that's going to help review the applications. And in the case that something is missing or doesn't add up, let's say the information in the application and the documentation provided don't match up, we will be sending emails out to the applicants. Now, if the applicant thinks it's a scam or it goes into their spam folder or junk mail, we will be following up with a phone call as well. And then the great thing about this portal is we can actually check the status. Let me reshare here. On the actual portal, we can recheck this. They can recheck the status of their application. So I myself did a bunch of test applications. So if I'm in the portal, I can see my status. For example, this one got approved, and that's how they'll be able to see. If they see, for example, returned, that means we sent the application back to the applicant for some kind of correction or something we were missing. So between the emails, the call that we follow up with, and checking the status on the portal, that's three different methods that we try to make sure we reach out to the applicants to get anything that's needed. Any other questions?
Hi, Maria, it's Adrian. I'm gonna follow up just a little bit on Russell's question. So is it safe to say that when the counselors are counseling and they're letting the clients know, hey, you'll be receiving an email back, is it safe to say that it'll be from nmfa.net?
Absolutely. That is a very great observation. So no matter who it comes from personally, all of our email addresses have at nmfa.net.
Okay. And then second, is there any way for them to contact you?
Absolutely. Let me go back to that
PowerPoint. Oh, did you already go through that? I'm sorry.
No, it was actually the last screen of my PowerPoint that I didn't share. Let me bring that back up. It's this one. So on this one, we already did the demonstration of the application. Right here, so we have our website. Our website has the ability to, you have the ability to look at this recovery email and the phone number directly on the website, or here it is directly. If they have any questions, if they want to check the status of the application, or even if they're confused before submitting the application, this is our direct number. And it's not one of those 800 numbers. There will be somebody there to answer at all times. I'm sorry, during business hours, but there will be plenty of people available to answer calls.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. So I'm gonna leave this up here for a minute as well in case anybody needs the phone number or our contact information. Any additional questions that we can help answer? We know that the program is a little bit tricky, so I wanted to make sure that we make ourselves available for questions or any specific business questions that anybody may have. You yourself or the business owner can reach out to the recovery inbox, our phone number, or our direct contacts that are in the first slide. You will get a copy of this full presentation from Adrian. So you will be able to have our direct numbers as well.
Maria, did you also want to bring up cases, the contact support?
Yeah, sure. That's actually a great idea. I forgot about that one. So in the case that somebody's struggling with the application or they want to check the status of their application, we have what's called cases. And what that is if I'm in the actual application, I have a contact support button, and this allows me to type in whatever my question is. And we have Tyler, who's in charge of the what we call cases team, meaning if I contact support and I need a follow-up, there will be a person assigned to follow up with me regarding my question.
We still see the PowerPoint, not the application.
That's because I didn't share correctly. Thank you. Alrighty, how about now? Perfect. So I'm sorry, let me go back. So if I'm in the actual application, the contact support button is right at the top. And so I can click on that to ask whatever my question was. If I want to check the status of the application, if I want to, let's say I received an email from Naily and I want to make sure that Naily is in fact with NMFA because I have fraud concerns, I am absolutely able to do that through this method as well. I received an email from this person. I just want to confirm that this is a member of your staff and you know they're asking the correct questions. So this can be used for whatever the applicant has questions on or yourselves have questions on.
Maria, have you and your team established any kind of service standard for returning, for answering these, the contact support? Is it instant? Is it online chat? Or is it you're sending them a message and then we should let them know, hey, if you use this contact support, they're gonna answer you within 2 hours or 24 hours or what? Have you guys established a standard yet?
Yeah, so usually on a standard day, I would say it's within 24 hours. If we have a large influx of cases coming in, I would say it could take a little bit longer, but I would say no more than 48 hours. And it's not a live chat, it's a message that they send to us and we would send a message back or give them a call.
And I would say 48 business hours or 48 hours on a business day, not a weekend. If they put it on Friday, it'll probably get addressed on Monday.
Right. Thank you for that. Anything else that we can help answer, clarify? Again, we know it's a little bit of a complicated program. So if you're actually helping a business owner and something doesn't make sense or you need additional info, feel free to call any of us. That's what we're here for, to help get the applications in and of course to help the business owners get back to pre-pandemic levels.
Hey, Maria, I have one more question.
Yes.
So this program, it hasn't ended and now it's starting back up. It's always been out there. You're just making a big push because we're entering the deadline period, right?
Exactly. So the program specifically started in May of this year. And you're right, we've been receiving applications since then and we've been processing them and everything. But yes, the big push for people to know about the program is because December is going to be here sooner than later.
So how has your, just say like in the last 60 days, how have the applications been coming in? Are you guys gangbusters and you need some help or how has your flow been, your pace?
In the, Yeah, in the beginning, when it first opened, we got a big influx of applications because, you know, we had business owners that were waiting for it to open. We've now kind of got over that bump, and we do continue to get applications on a daily basis. But because we have such a robust team of reviewers, there's nothing that, there's no like long wait times for them to find out something about the application. In the case that we do get a huge amount of applications, we try our best to work through them. But we haven't seen a huge influx, kind of how we did in the beginning day.
Have you started the marketing campaign yet? Have you started advertising it?
We have here and there, not fully until Monday. Monday the 18th, Okay. When our written ads go out, our radio ads start happening. So really next week is when we're going to expect to see more application coming in.
Okay. And I guess I should get with Lynn on that, because I think they have our logo and are going to put some of our information on that as well. So I need to get a copy, see when that goes out. There's a question in the chat about Spanish. You have the Spanish, the speakers, but is there are you asking for a customer service line in Spanish, Liliana? She said that's fine. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just ask if they're gonna have like some, you were talking about the team reviewers, if some of those people are going to be able to assist Spanish-speaking clients. So that was my question. But it seems like there are a few. It's Nayeli, you said, and Maria Gallardo?
Yeah, so myself okay. and Nayeli, we do speak Spanish, and we can help the Spanish speaker applicants. Also on the actual application, as I'm going to share again, on the actual application, once I start the application itself, I do have the ability to change the whole application into Spanish.
Oh, that's great. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Any additional questions we can help with?
Maria, this looks like one that maybe you need to probably address. Juliana has a client that was approved, but they're told they can't get the funds until December. Is there any way we can help them with those funds any sooner?
Sure. Go ahead and if you don't mind, send me an email with that application number so I can look into it. I'm wondering if it's an application that just got submitted, because again, anything that gets submitted between October 12th and December 7th is not going to get funded until after December 7th. So my go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, yes, the application actually went through in May.
So there's no reason why they should have to wait till December. If you don't mind, again, my email address is on the very front of the PowerPoint. If you don't mind sending me a direct email with that information of that specific application, I'll be happy to look at it.
Thank you so much.
Of course, thank you. Nayeli, were you going to add something? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that if a Spanish speaking applicant calls, they call the main line, they could just select, I believe it's number 2, and it'll take you to the Spanish line. And besides myself and Maria, there is other temp staff that speak Spanish.
Thank you, Adrian, for sharing my email. Any questions, any specific business owners that you are working with, that you have specific questions on applications, feel free to send me an email. I'll be happy to look at it and kind of give you a rough idea of what either if something's holding it up or what the path of the application looks like.
So this is Russell again. I'm wondering if you get some member data in regards to like what percentage of these are make it through to approval, what percentage don't. And those that don't, is there a commonality that you're seeing that is that we can watch out for? Or is there a commonality in regards to those that are kind of getting hung up in the process that you're needing more information on that we can watch out for?
That's actually a very good question. So I think once we implement the three kind of eligibility questions at the very beginning, before the application even starts, it will help us diminish the numbers. Right now, we're looking at about a 50% submittal rate, meaning about 3,500 people or so started the application. Only about 1,500 or so submitted the application. And out of that, I can get to specifics on how many of those we funded, but the ones that we reject, the most common thing that we see is that they don't have the documents required, or that they don't have employees at all. So that's why we always encourage business owners to have all the documents before starting the application to make sure that there's nothing that's lingering or missing. And then of course, by establishing the eligibility section, once we know that they do have employees and they do file the DWS report, we can help them get qualified. But that's been the main decline reasons. They don't have the required documents. So right now I see that we've approved about 1,000 or so applications out of the 1,500 submitted. So our approval rate is pretty high, but our submitted rate is not so high. And again, it's because people start the application and then realize that they're not eligible. And that's the reason why we decided to do kind of like a pre-do I qualify screening on our website, which is going to ask three basic questions. Do you have a lease? Do you have employees? And have you been in business before October of 2019? If all three of those questions are a yes, then they do qualify and they can start the application. And then more details of the grant amount, of course, will be given in the application. Let me repeat those three questions, because I know that that's like the easiest way to determine if somebody's eligible is, do they have a lease or mortgage? Do they have employees that they report to DWS? And the last one is, have you been in business before October of 2019? So once they can answer yes to those three questions, they would gather their documents and then start the application. So hopefully by doing those pre-screening questions, it would allow us to approve more of the applications received, and the applicants can finish more of the applications they started.
And can I get this review again, the close date of the program, the close time? Is that does that mean the last date they could sit in their application, but you can still ask them questions, or get a really good picture of when we get close to the end, what this is going to look like?
Of course. So applicants can submit applications anytime up to December 7th. After December 7th, from the time of submitting up to December 7th, we're still going to go back and forth with the applicant. If things are missing, if they're missing documents, if some things need a change in the application, just because the round doesn't close to December 7th doesn't mean we won't be working on it. That just means that they won't get their funds until after December 7th. So from now until the round closes, every application that continues to come through, we'll work on it, make sure it has everything that's needed, all the corrections are good to go, and it'll sit in an approved stage until, or in a pre-approved stage until December 7th, once they're prioritized, and then we know which ones we're actually going to fund. Now, from December 7th on, we'll review those applications that came in, let's say, last couple of days that we have lingering, and then we'll finish off the prioritization and then get them funded before the end of the year.
So in theory, if they hit the submit button by midnight, 11:59, December 7th, they can continue through the process. Is that correct?
I believe the cutoff time is noon. So December 7th at noon.
Important. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Of course. And we encourage the business owners to apply as soon as possible, because the sooner they apply, the more time it gives us to review the application, make sure everything's perfect. And that way they'll be ready to go by the time December 7th prioritization happens. Any other questions that we can answer? This has been really helpful for both of us, because I now get a clearer picture of what you guys see and what you're looking for. So I hope that the actual presentation was helpful as well. Again, we understand that it's a complicated program, so don't feel shy or anything to just pick up the phone and call us, email us. My direct email address is on the chat or on the PowerPoint presentation as well. If I myself can't get to your question, I'll make sure that one of my staff members does.
Okay, just real quick before we start to wrap it up, Cindy, did you have a question or were you clapping?
I was just clapping. It was good information. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good information. Thank you. All right. Well, like she said, you guys, I have the presentation that she just did. I have a link to their how-to on the applications, and I'll send those out to you. We did record this, so I'll send this recording out to you as well. I'll send it out to the entire network. I think most people were able to join either yesterday or today. Looks like a good turnout, so thank you very much. I'm happy that we got this information. And Maria, if you need anything from us, please feel free to contact myself or Martin. We're the associate state directors, and we'll be able to help you get any information that you need to get out to the network. If you have changes or you guys run into, especially infrastructure issues, if you guys know that you're having issues with uploading or a specific question, anything like that, if you could just give us a heads up so that we can let our clients know and that we're not both running into the frustrations and not knowing what to do on it.
Absolutely.
If anyone has any questions, just go ahead and unmute, or we'll just go ahead and wrap it up.
We really appreciate the time to be here. We thank you guys for your time. Feel free to reach out if you need anything at all. And I hope that this was helpful, and we really appreciate your partnership with the business owners as well. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am the controller, so when I click end, it's going to close all of you guys. So thank you so much. Appreciate all your time. Take care.